This is exactly right.
Karen, have you heard of Handsome? It's a new podcast from the brilliant comedians Tig Notaro, Fortune Feimster, and Mae Martin.
I have heard of it. People love it. Every week, this handsome trio of hosts takes a question from a famous friend, people like Stephen Colbert, Reese Witherspoon, Jamila Jamil, the Indigo Girls, and then they do their best to answer that question with plenty of hilarious detours along the way.
You're going to love hanging out with Tig, Fortune, and Mae every week, so go check out Handsome wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Listen to a new episode of Handsome every Tuesday.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouthhorn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Karen, are you okay out there? It's raining
Chris.
So much we're not used to it.
Rivers and streams, creeks overflowing.
I'm currently in a hollowed out refrigerator paddling. I was just in Houston where famously they get torrential downpours. Like when I lived in Texas, I was not prepared for raindrops the size of a child's fist. And they just the flooding. I one time was doing laundry and looked out the window and the ceiling to floor windows were just showing the out of doors like an aquarium, just 4 feet of water, things floating, old tires and brochures. And I watched my car just float out of the laundromat parking lot and kind of gracefully stop in the street. Then all the water drained away and everyone drove off. I was like, oh, this is just how it is in Texas. But then when I landed here, it was raining like that. I've never seen that in Los Angeles in the 20 years I've lived here.
I hear it's been insane.
Yeah.
I'm up floating. Here. I'm repping NorCal. I know the floating car thing and the mud thing happened near my house in LA, but I'm up here in NorCal where we got the beginning of this atmospheric river. And it has been raining pretty much nonstop for like 11 days, pouring, storming. By the way, we're talking about the weather on our podcast.
Yeah, I know,
like,
but
sorry.
When
sorry.
It's at this level, it's all of a sudden exciting, like the movie Twister.
It can't be denied when there's cows flying by your window.
Right, and a tractor, and Bill Paxton.
And Bill Paxton making funny, hilarious jokes. But up here, like 5 miles away in this town, Nicasio, I believe it was Nicasio, the winds were 100 miles an hour one night. So it's like they were calling it the bomb cyclone. It was seriously storming. And there was a night where me and my dad are sitting there watching Jack Reacher, of course.
Yeah.
And it felt like the windows were going to blow in, like into us movie style. But my dad, of course, is relatively incredibly hard of hearing. So we were not having the same experience. He's like, every time Jack Reacher would like cold cock somebody on the sidewalk, my dad would be like, oh, look at this guy. And meanwhile, I'm like, we're going to die of wind tonight in this room. It was so, truly scary.
Are you comforted at all by the fact that your dad was a fireman for 45 years?
Yes, Well, because you know what's funny? He told a story, like anytime something happens in a movie or on the news or whatever, he'll turn and have a story. Well, he'll go, one time we got a call. And I go in there and it's this old guy. And he talks, he'll tell us the story of some, you know, incredible call that he went on. But he often talks through the beginning of the conversation he has. Oh, this one was, it was an executive in Wells Fargo that they had to go up to this. He goes, this beautiful office. And I go and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, can you imagine if you were having a heart attack or a stroke and it's my dad walking up like, hey, what's up? Or it's like,
beautiful office.
I think it would be calming. I hope it would be calming. And I think it's nice to know he would know what veins to press down on so I don't immediately bleed out.
Right, when the windows implode while watching Jack Reacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
And probably in slow motion, because that if glass is going to fly, it better be in slow motion.
Yeah, like backdraft. That had to be scarier than where you live then. I mean, you're in the mountains. There was muddy rivers and stuff.
Yes. Are you talking about
where you're at
NorCal
now
versus SoCal?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still here. I'm still at my dad's house.
And it had to have been scarier. But on the news, I was worried about you because a neighbor, they were in your neighborhood, like shoveling mud out of driveways.
Yes.
I swear it looked like your street. And then they interviewed this lady, and I hope she lives near you because she was like, I mean, I prayed for rain. I feel somewhat responsible. Because I prayed for this rain, but then I prayed for it to please, please stop. And it did. And they put that on the news. And I'm like, oh,
this
please.
This is the power of prayer.
Please be at Karen's next party. She was really good at praying.
She's inundating all of us. No, I haven't gotten any of this LA atmospheric river because I've been up in NorCal this whole time.
Well, I could talk about it all day, but I think we should see what our guest has to say about specifically the weather. Don't worry, we're not changing the subject.
This topic, the theme of this episode will be weather of any kind.
Yeah. Drive time style.
That's right.
You know our next guest. From clubs and colleges throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
She's a previous Dynar guest and one of our favorites, and I mean that entirely. Everyone, put your ears together for Erin Foley.
Yes, Erin Foley.
God, riveting weather talk. I was like ready to jump in.
Did you hear the part about the 100-mile-an-hour winds and the mud?
Oh, well, I don't know if you had the pleasure of meeting my mother, Mary Agnes Foley, but she's been obsessed with the weather since her birth year, late 1930s. Mm. And I feel like she needs to, my dad passed. Karen, I think maybe your dad and my mom should join forces. They both can't hear, and they can just watch Jack Reacher together and talk about the weather. This is what I've been plotting.
Be in general denial, withholding and repressing all of their Irish Catholic feelings.
Yes.
Together.
But together.
Yeah. I'm sorry about your dad. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's okay. It was just, lung cancer during COVID. Anyway, the weather.
God. The winds and the mud.
Let's get back to the mud and the important things.
I mean, it was like L.A. was experiencing a cancer of its own from the sky.
Yes, yes.
Sky cancer.
Sorry, real quick.
Yes,
years ago, you know how it used to rain once every 7 years and everyone would lose their mind? And it was this the funniest thing. This isn't funny, but I mean, now today's weather isn't funny. But I was at the bank when you'd go into the bank, you know? And this woman was super agitated. And she's like, oh, this rain. Just shouting out in the bank line. And she goes, I didn't sign up for this. And that used to make me laugh so hard. Just, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. For weather.
You mean, for weather. Just one rain a year.
I didn't pray for this. I love it. I
was like, I love people.
That was back in the cycles of it would pour rain, there would be mudslides in Malibu, and then we'd wait for the fires to begin. And that used to be the old weather cycle that we all were like, okay, this is what it's like down here.
Those are our seasons.
Yes.
Fire and mud river.
Fire and mud.
Yeah, I was delighted by it. And I thought now is a good time when it was most torrentially coming down to go buy new wiper blades because I'm going to need them. I don't know why. I was excited to experience rain in LA. We have a serious drought, but I did not know I was just going to the nearest auto zone to get in the zone that I would actually see that. I saw a car, like one of those BMWs that's like an exotic. I don't know if they're electric, but they have a lot of blue. It looks like a car from the movie Tron. This guy just gunned it into 3 feet of water, and I watched him just float until the wheels touched, and then he drove off. And I'm like, that was the most surreal thing. Just on Alvarado, just in town. A floating car. What are you, James Bond, I said?
Well, because the one thing people in LA aren't going to give up, no matter what is coming out of the sky or flowing down the street, is driving like assholes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter if there's, if mud is coming toward them, they're going to cut it off.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, that's who we are as LA drivers, yeah, as a city.
Just dodging palm bark and headshots. That's what we're doing.
Not using our blinkers.
Nope, just going fast.
Yeah, you're right. No one knew to just, like, if you're in deep water, just maintain some sort of, if you go too slow, you get stuck. If you go too fast, your bumper rips off. Everyone was doing one or the other, going slow and getting stuck or driving so fast. But it was fun people watching until I realized I was putting myself in danger. And I've been indoors ever since, but I did get those wiper blades on if you want a nice ending to the story.
Did you have to put them on yourself or did some nice person that worked at AutoZone come out to the parking lot?
No, they were freaking out about the, like, oh no, I didn't wear my rubbers. Like they're worried about walking to their cars. I literally drove there with a headlamp on my head and I put them on in the rain. And I had to open the directions to figure it out.
Did you not have headlights or was this just something you wanted to try out?
You know, hovering over the hood, I had to get the blades into the.
Oh, I thought you were driving with a headlamp on.
The headlamp was for future when I knew that in the parking lot, I do everything at the AutoZone parking lot. I'll change my oil. They hate me there. And I put on my wiper blades in the rain, and I'm not kidding that I enjoyed the rain. And I know people lost houses. I just remembered it was bad for a lot of people, so I'm not.
Right. There's always a bad side to fun.
Yeah, I know.
Always.
I love my street river. I parked in it. I took close-up videos. Rain is important, or any semblance of a seasonal anything in this 75 degree all year round, beautiful, round the clock. Where have the last 20 years gone? Because I don't know what day it is.
Aaron, how do they feel about you at AutoZone? Do they love you? Do they hate you? What do you bring to the table when you, the idea that people hate Chris at AutoZone is hilarious.
Well, you know, we all know, we've known Chris for a long time, and most people are like, he's an asshole, you know? And so I get the AutoZone, you know, I get
you're on
that.
Their side.
I've always been like, he's got a temper issue. He's, I'm kidding people. He's one of my favorite
You know
people.
What? I actually do, especially when it comes to cars. But you know me as a nice person, so I shouldn't have even said that. But I am out there raving.
Just around cars.
Come out and fucking help me. I'm always yelling, pounding on the window.
Cars and golf.
Yeah.
There's also a golf anger issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys do this thing where you go, I should learn more about my car, you know? Like, yeah. I say that. I've said that now. Let's see, I've been in LA almost 16 years. I don't give a shit about cars. Yeah. I don't care what I drive. I don't, like, I just, and I had a bad Jiffy Lube experience in the first, like, the second year in LA. I was driving like a used car and I'm not going to go into it because literally it was like it's like a joke I did on stage. But the woman basically on a loudspeaker was like, you know, I think it was like a 97 Corolla, 180,000 miles. Like I was just, and it was like Beamers. And I just was like demoralized. I was like, you guys
she
are all
yelled
doing
out the
well.
Miles?
Yelling, just yelling on a, like. It was a comic. There was two people in a small waiting room. You know, it was that bad, you know, where God. I was like, am I on a candid camera?
And then they sold you an air filter you didn't need for $80.
Sold me an air filter. I just got like, you know, bent over. And I was like, and then I said, oh, yeah, it's a lot of miles. She's like, oh, you're at its, you know, half-life. You could get 300,000 miles. I just was like, get me. Like, it was so demoralizing that I was like, I'm just going to never go back to an AutoZone or a gym. Like, they just, I think with women too, like, that's when I'm like, I need to learn more stuff. They go in. And they just assume, like, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And I don't. So I'm like, I needed a hubcap, you know, like, I'm like, I don't know. But there is the other side is like, you can, I hate to be this like type, I'm not this type of woman, but it is kind of, you know, you go, oh, could you, do you think you could put that on for me? You know, yeah. Like you have those moments where you're like, well, I get paid a dollar to your five. So go put the hubcaps on.
Right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. So I'm not afraid to ask, but I am afraid to look like I like watch YouTube or I Google things. So I know what I'm talking about before I go in. I rehearse them in the parking lot. I pace back and forth. I'm like, and then I'm like, yeah, I need some rotors for my calipers are good, but the drums, the brakes, like I learned the words before I go in.
Just listing off terms.
Yeah. He's like, what are you saying?
Axle.
lubricant.
Plug gun.
I guess there's a battery. Seats, of course.
List all the parts of a car. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember what I need from you. And so I have a list here of every part on my car. Bumper.
I keep stepping on the glove compartment and I'm hearing this noise. Yeah.
Or do you guys call that a jockey box around here? You got your glove compartment guys, you got your jockey box guys. Where are you at AutoZone? Because at Kragen, they're like jockey box this, jockey box that. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you, horse ride? Little men ride horses?
The last time I was at I think it was an AutoZone, the one on the bridge going over to the 5 before you get into downtown Burbank. But ooh. So AutoZone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Could have been an O'Reilly.
All the parts.
But
have you,
auto
I'm parts. Sorry, but there's a live record. There's a reunion that was like part of a corporate retreat for those folks. And the original recording artists came in and performed that song. And it brought a tear to my eye. And
wait, are you being serious?
I'm not kidding. And it was this year.
You witnessed this.
It was this year.
Were you doing...
It was this year. I'm
were
not
you doing
comedy?
A set? Why were you there?
I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, all right. I was like, are you... Why are you...
I haven't been anywhere. Everything I'm talking about...
Is this an intervention, Karen? Are we trying to get Chris out of AutoZone conference?
Everything I'm talking about is something I watched on my phone. I did not drive in the rain. Those were all videos I watched.
So it's like, it's at a Garden Hilton, and it's in the conference room, and some woman comes in and goes, O'Reilly. You're telling me that happened.
And then the dude comes in, because it's his only part, where he goes, auto parts. And then she goes,
no.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I will send it to you. It is very
fun
to watch.
And they're like,
thank
you so much. Now we're going to do the AutoZone theme. And they just do all repair place jingles.
That is why they were there. And this song was a little longer than in the radio commercials, but...
I'm surprised one of us wasn't performing at this gig.
Yeah,
for
real.
It
sounds like something you'd pick.
Doesn't it sound like a hell gig that you like sit around after a show and you're like, well, I did the O'Reilly Auto Part Conference.
Yeah. I got to do something. I'm scared to go on a cruise ship.
You have to pass the mic at the end of, you're like, and that was the mayor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been so great performing for you this evening. But right now we have a very special treat. It's Dan and Joanne. That's right. The people who sing the O'Reilly Auto Parts theme. Dan, Joanne, get out of here, guys.
And then we're going to bring out the sick kids. But I interrupt. What did you see at
I was just going to say, now I'm talking into a second mic.
I know, I've noticed you've been doing that.
Because I really love, there's AutoZone. When my niece was like little in a car seat, like 3 or 4, she listened to the radio so much because she and my sister were in the car together so much that we'd be listening to the radio and then a jingle would come on, when a commercial would come on, and she would sing the jingle like word for word. And it was super creepy because she was very little. So it would just be like mattress discounters from the back seat and from like a 3-year-old. And she, it was so funny. Like I would cry laughing and she knew every word to every jingle. And it was my favorite. That wasn't my story. The point I was going to say is the last time I was in that AutoZone / O'Reilly, we're not sure, over in Burbank, I had to get a tire replaced. And so I had to go wait in the little waiting room that they have for people getting tires that literally smells like they're piping in tire smell. It is the most unpleasant. And I know I'm a little sensitive about my smells, but it was like being inside a tire waiting for your tire to get replaced. And I was like, I can't take it in here, and if I leave, they're gonna call my number and I'll be somewhere weird. Yeah. So I have to stay. But it was the most unpleasant, worst smelling room in Burbank.
But
I'll
it was that new tire smell.
It really was.
It's bad for you. It's the worst thing ever. It's rubber and I love it. I love it
you
as
too?
Much as I love. I used to purposefully spray my hands with gasoline so I could drive around and smell the gas. Maybe I was, that's borderline huffing it. But
maybe.
For some reason.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a problem.
It was
Kurt.
Just on my fingers. I didn't always have a paper bag with my fist in there. Just dip your hand in the gas.
I'm calling an emergency number right now.
Oh, man.
Can I ask you a huffing question? And you guys will know.
Sure, I'll know.
You huff gas, Aaron, mm-hmm. Do you hallucinate? What's the, you get high, like lightheaded, but does anything else happen in a drug experience way that is
a
plus?
You fuck some strangers.
Oh, yeah. Go straight to that.
Yeah. It's just one huff, your pants are off.
Yeah.
So I've heard, you know, I'm just, I do
no
believe
small
that's,
talk.
No, absolutely not. No small talk. It's just, because it only lasts so long, right? So you can only, you have a small window to make a real bad decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a good decision.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes depending on who you pick.
You never know when you're going to meet your person. You never know.
Listen,
your person.
Every day is a gift. Every day is a gift.
I've been saying, especially in the new year.
Huff, drop your pants.
Huff and drop wherever you are. You might find that person of your dreams.
Huff and drop O'Reilly behind the auto parts.
Auto pants drop. Sorry.
Those pants drop automatically.
Remember FDIC.
Chris watched an O'Reilly conference where the singers came out and sang the song. That really happened. And I think we skipped over that too quickly because we couldn't absorb it.
I didn't watch the whole conference. Someone clipped out the peak moment, which was Bob and Judy coming out and doing their hit.
Now, did YouTube suggest this based on other videos that you were watching?
I think that it was a clip that I was scrolling through TikTok where you take a lot in. If I like something, I then search for more information on YouTube.
Okay. Yep.
YouTube is like my bibliography for TikTok. I need to know more. Usually it's where does this person live? That's a criminal of some kind. I then go from TikTok, find them on Facebook, and see where they live.
Friend request.
Friend request. Possibly a poke. That's an old bit because you can't poke anymore. You still can poke people, by the way. But who's on Facebook anymore? They just kind of hid the poke.
Who's pokeable on Facebook anymore?
You are. We all are. That's the thing you have to realize.
You should live action poke, Chris. You know, it's 2023. Just start poking in real life.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, that's my resolution.
Knock on my door and I answer just wearing a Target on my shirt. Poke away right in the sternum, stranger.
I'll sign for that package if you poke me.
It's not part of my job detail, but okay.
Sleep train, a ticket to a better night's sleep. That was the creepiest one when she was like 3 and knew that whole line.
It's my sister and I
just thought of it.
I, the other day, that's sleep train will take you to a better night's sleep.
A ticket to a better night's sleep.
That's a great lyric. See, a lot of these are good songs, and
They are.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has nothing to do with the auto. The AutoZone song actually is a banger that if I need to get pumped up,
let's
you know, I listen to either that or, you know, Eye of the Tiger or something. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
They have to appeal to dudes that like songs that sound like that, I guess, is the thinking at the ad agency. Like, it's men. They're at the auto parts store. What do they like to hear? Another man growl, scream, singing. The title.
Right? All coked up, looking for 5, 6, 7 spark plugs. And they're like, I don't know. It's kind of rainy outside. And then, get in the zone. They're like, I'm there. I'm there.
That was good.
I'm doing
it. You got that throaty rock voice. Even though that was just a joke sample you gave, I can tell you got the goods.
Aaron has an amazing singing voice.
Do you sing,
Aaron?
Oh, my
God. I'll answer that in a 30-second answer.
Yes.
Please let it be a commercial jingle.
In my earlier drinking days, I would do some karaoke.
Yeah.
And one time, do you know Tom Lank?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's a comic, right?
Yeah, he's like an actor and he doesn't do stand-up, but he's just so funny and wonderful. Anyway.
But he's done Bruce's show, right?
Yes, he's done Bruce's show. We signed up at Foo Bar, back in the day of Foo Bar, Gay West Hollywood. That's redundant. And we signed up and it was like one of those, like, you know, gin-fueled, like, we're going to do Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibb, like, what kind of fool? Or, you know, like, just one of my absolute favorite, like, duets.
Yeah.
He's been on Broadway. I was like, we're going to crush this.
Wow.
We go up. He doesn't know the song. I'm tone deaf. And we come off stage and the MC goes, wow, that was like a karaoke miscarriage.
Sometimes they take their jobs too seriously and they're hurtful.
And I was like, no, that was priceless karaoke. Like, I'm sorry. I guess he's just used to like LA, everyone going up and nailing it. You know, I was like, no, that was traditional karaoke where you think you're great and you're not. And you're about to, like, you know, throw up from your 7th gin and tonic and you tried to do Barbara Streisand.
That's what I like. And it should be in a bowling alley and you should watch some old man sing AC/DC or something that you wouldn't think they would sing. But when it's people that are really good, I don't want to be around for that Barney's Beanery bullshit.
Yeah. But karaoke miscarriage made me laugh.
That is the best phrase ever.
I was like, that is the funniest
thing. Can we use
that?
Do you mind?
Can I steal that? We were at some bar. It was somebody's birthday. And they started doing karaoke. And I'm sure Paige was there because it was like, you have to sing, Karen. Paige used to do that to me. Like, we were at Marie's Crisis in New York City one time, and she's like, I signed you up. You have to sing.
Well,
I just got
it. Because it's like, you don't know you're a good singer.
Well, here's the thing. You
are a professional singer, though, Karen.
Guys,
try and get her to say that.
This is the truth of it. I want to be the best singer, but I know I'm not. So however good I may or may not be, up to you. when I get up there, I know I'm not the best, and therefore I'm even worse than I could be. And that's all, that entire cycle is heartbreaking to me. So like being in a place like Maria's Crisis, where that's where Broadway people go to sing songs to each other, I was like, you can't set me up that way. This isn't Akbar or some place like that. This is Broadway people. I was like, you can't do that to me because it's hard enough. And good singing is all about being calm and having good breath work and being able to like breathe freely. But I am so stressy about the whole thing that immediately I'm just start doing like this. And then you're just like trying to get where it's like, when I'm stuck with a day, like,
what kind of fool?
Yeah. See, that's what all professional singers would be like. Oh, you know, don't do that. If you chose, you know, Sundays Where the Story Ends or something that I know you, or that's what I would choose for you.
People I know.
Yeah.
Places I go.
There it is. And there that was
I
the
went
joke
to your
version.
Album recording.
What?
Your voice is fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
Guys, thank you.
She only does a joke version on the podcast. It's joke voice.
Well, It's just the thing of I want to be Whitney Houston, and since I'm not, I have depression. It doesn't make sense. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's the trap I'm stuck in.
Even Whitney Houston couldn't sing that Sundays song, though, the way that I... You just got to pick your right song, is all I'm saying.
True. Thank you.
That and is- Harriet Wheeler didn't know how to breathe either. Wait a minute. Did she pass away? That wasn't a joke.
Harriet Wheeler?
I mean about Sing Breath. No, I'm thinking the nice Cranberries lady passed. And
yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah. Wait, who's Harriet Wheeler?
Harriet Wheeler is from the Sundays. It's one of the music acts. People that Karen and I first bonded over, both liking the Sundays.
They're like a 90s, late 80s.
I've heard of them.
90s. They're amazing. You've heard, it's you and me in the summertime. They have like a couple big hits.
Yeah.
They covered Wild Horses. But then their first album was the first time I walked into a record store. Whatever was playing. And then Here's Where the Story Ends by the Sundays started. And I started freaking out and I ran to the front, was like, who is this? Because it was such a, it was like, this is the song I've been waiting to hear my whole life.
Know what, you want to know what song I, when I went to a record store, heard and I was like, immediately had to buy it? The same thing. It was I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt.
Oh.
Because I was like into ska and I was like, I knew her voice from old ska compilations.
Yeah.
And I was so into that No Doubt album. Now because of the ska part, I'm kind of embarrassed. Have you ever done that, Aaron? Have you ever heard a song and you're like, who is this? I'm buying it right now.
Yeah, well, I just remember seeing Gwen Stefani and I was like, I should date women. So that was just like, not like a record thing.
Yeah.
But more just visual.
Like
a,
yeah.
More of like a visual, I need to like absolutely huff. And then banger.
Like gas huff?
Yeah. So her pants would fall off.
I want to just vaporize you and put you in a bag and huff you. What did you say to me? I was a compliment.
I said, I love your first album.
Gwen Stefani, what's amazing to me is when she first came out, I was like, wow, they picked a model to be the lead singer of their band. And then the more you learn, where it's like, no, she's writing all these songs.
Yeah.
Like the whole story of that band is fucking unbelievable and very tragic and sad.
Yeah.
And like her coming through all of that and then just being like this beyond superstar. It's amazing.
What's the tragedy and sadness? I don't.
One of their band members, right?
Yeah. I believe it was one of the founding band members.
Because one's like a brother and a cousin. It's like relative. Yes.
And then she was in love with the lead guy, but he didn't love her.
Okay.
And that's like
why she wrote those
don't
songs.
Don't think or don't what that
don't
one?
Speak.
That's from Don't Speak. Don't think.
Yeah. So he's back
really
there
no
playing
doubt.
He's playing lead guitar. I hope this isn't about me.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Boy George and the drummer. He was in love with the drummer. Of his own band. And the drummer was kind of like, I'm into you sometimes, but not all the time. And so all those Culture Club songs in the 80s.
Isn't Fleetwood Mac like that? They were all swinging and orgies, and then they're singing about how they're upset, and they're just 4 feet away from each other doing rhythm guitar.
just open journaling, just like secondhand news. And you're like, am I the secondhand news? Have we broken up?
Wait, are you the secondhand news? Is this an accusation?
You know, I just got I've been threatening to get a record player for about 10 years. If you see a pattern where I say something and then I do it for about 10 years. And then my partner, Sarah, was like, just this past Christmas, she got me a record player. Because I've had the same probably 70 records and I've been carrying them around for probably 25 years.
You do have records already.
And so, yeah. But they're like on display, but I'm like, I gotta get a
player.
But all these old records came out and I realized like, wow, I am still like, out of all of them, I was like, well, two quick things, the Wham Make It Big. And I was like, the insert of like how beautiful Andrew Ridgely and George Michael were. And I was like, were they banging? Were they in love?
Yeah.
Was one of them in love with one of them? Careless Whisper, obviously, it was not about a woman. My favorite song of all time. One of them. But then the other one was, I cannot get enough of like 70s and 80s soft rock. Like just like, I have been playing Air Supply on a loop since I got the record player.
Yep.
I mean, REO Speedwagon, Air Supply, like all of that, like, oh my God, it's been so fun to like go back and now my new thing is going to be like, wherever I go, if I just see a record store, I'm just going to go in. It'll just be fun, you know?
Yes. And actually kind of shop it almost like thrift store shopping.
Yeah.
Well, and also I think people got into yacht rock like in the 2000s, almost like being ironic. But what they realized is, no, this shit is actually unbelievably amazing and well-produced music that hasn't been reproduced. It's not throwaway. They weren't one-hit wonders. Yeah. These are like amazing bands that were making so many good songs.
And every once in a while, I'll discover one. I didn't know Alan Parsons Project made five or six different songs. I love it.
I have the album. Chris, I'm not even kidding. I could run into my living room when I was going through them. I was like, the Alan Parsons Project.
Is it the one with like the Egyptian eye on it, hovering?
And there's a song on that album that I didn't know it was them. I thought maybe it was like a David Gates and Brad or... And it wasn't Eye in the Sky because that's like one of their most popular ones. But I don't know. I can't remember it. But yeah, it's just been so fun to discover like... You know, kind of rediscover. Yeah, because, you know, you have like the yacht rock and all those fun stuff on Spotify, but it's just also just so fun to like look at like the inserts and like all the lyrics and the photos and
records are fun.
Yeah, that's been it's been a highlight.
And little bags of cocaine that sometimes fall out that people forgot they put in there in 1975.
In the record sleeve?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these are just coated with rowdy powder. I did not know that records were very expensive, though. Like, I need to go find thrift store.
If you look online, they're like $30.
Yeah.
But, you know...
That seems like a lot to me.
Yeah. But my records are so old that I've already gone through another, like, I guess they call it stylus. I always call it a needle. Because it's like, it gets dirty so quickly that I was like, got a cleaner, and then... This record player doesn't have an automatic like lift to go back. So it just hits the paper and keeps going. I've heard like, I'm going to like, you know, whatever. But it's just now every morning I like get up and play like one record during breakfast. It's just like something like fun and it's like my new favorite thing.
I need to realize that, that's what I should find. Old yacht rock, old whatever, Chicago. Stuff from my childhood that brings back old memories that would... It'd be like calming music that I can turn on.
I'm going to give you a recommendation right now because my mom used to put on Carole King's Tapestry in the morning and that's how we would wake up.
Oh.
And
that
was
our...
And it was such a good idea and we... It's things like that where then later on I was like, that was excellent parenting and I didn't appreciate it because I just assumed people's parents were doing shit like that.
Yeah,
It's like we were getting like a spa experience to get out of bed.
Yeah. I do appreciate,
That's so cool, Karen.
My parents provided for me sort of a curated playlist that I appreciate now because I'm like, I realize other people don't know about these old songs. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks, Dad, who was a radio DJ. I guess that was part of it.
Yeah, paying attention.
Yeah, yeah, totally paying attention.
We used to go around, like, I have two sisters, and this was like, you know, we were really, I guess... Whatever, I was born in 73, so like late 70s, early 80s. And my dad would play a song, and then Megan would get a song, Tara would get a song, my mom would get a song, you know, myself, and we'd go for like hours and hours of... So I got to know like, you know, like it was pretty like, after a while, it's like, okay, dad's going to play like a big band or Glenn Miller or like a Buddy Rich or, you know, like drums, whatever. Mom's going for like Glenn Campbell, Willie Nelson, you know?
Ooh.
And then we started getting like, you know, we got a little bit older, we still did it. Like, I remember my first album was like, it was something so cool that I didn't know because my aunt got it for me. It was like Synchronicity by The Police.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I love The Police. Never heard of The Police, you know what I mean? And then you'd put it on and like, you know, so I was like, I want to get all those albums. Not going to lie, went to the record store, bought Thriller. I don't care. I mean, I know he's a little pig, but that album is like, I have to have Thriller.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like a real fun way to like kind of remember that period of time.
Off the Wall is an unbelievable album. Like that thing, you're just like, this is a child star who could have gone through all of his... you know, I Want You Back era and gone away forever and had many reasons to with an abusive father and whatever. And instead he like took a slight break and then was like, hey, how about the best Yeah. I don't know. Is that R&B? Is that considered?
I would think so.
Yeah.
R&B music, but like amazing. But pop, yeah. It was pop music. He was like redefining it.
Remember that album cover?
I think of Michael Jackson when I think of pop like that. I think that's when they started saying that phrase. I just love that. Yeah. But now my dad listens to mostly music from his youth. Like he's doing the same thing we're talking about. It's like 50s ice cream shop. She's only 15. What was that lyric? Good Lord, what a simpler, scary time. But I'm like, wait a minute. You introduced me to all this other, like Beatles and stuff. He just keeps going further back. But I do love that the Cranberries came on, not Linger, but what was the other?
Zombie.
Dreams.
Dreams.
And my dad, it came on, and I'm like, we just kind of were listening in the living room by the Christmas tree, and my dad was like, this might possibly be one of the best rock songs of all time. And I was like, for some reason, it hit me in an emotional way. Because I do know that he privately was listening to a lot of Cranberries when that came out. I think I bought it for him. I don't know. It was an emotional thing. Music's an emotional thing, you guys.
It is. It really is.
Especially when you share, like we as a family shared a lot of the same, TV shows. It's like, some books and stuff, but like music, I remember all of us wholeheartedly are obsessed with, still to this day, obsessed with the Bee Gees. Hands down.
Yeah.
Like we all have it's so fun where you're all these different generations can absolutely. I just remember my dad driving, the Bee Gees would come on, and car rides where you're dragged to do this and this, we'd all be like, oh, like my dad's like tapping on the, it's just like those are the best when you can share something.
I love that at the time my dad was like, this disco shit, like he wasn't into it. And man, does he love it now. It's like, we watched a documentary about the Gibbs.
I was just going to say, did you guys see the documentary?
Yeah, so good.
So good.
So good.
It's so good. But it's so true. Like, you can't be that popular.
Yeah.
They were so popular, they were just constantly being played for months and months and years. And basically, people kind of, rebelled against being force-fed it. But it didn't mean it wasn't good music.
And I think I was experiencing my dad, that actual period of people rebelling against this disco era stuff. But he loves it now. And he remembers people thinking that, maybe him included. And it's so interesting to see that documentary and watch them be frightened after every wave of popularity that they went through. They're like, oh, we're done after this. And then they hit it big with something else.
Yeah.
That part was like, oh, man, this is like a roller coaster.
Barry Gibb, he's like one of the most prolific songwriters. I mean, he just
And much like Gwen Stefani, he's also a hottie. Legit, you look at him and you're like, are you a lion? But that's singing like a girl? Like, what's happening?
And he's so good at singing from right here. From this spot. It was either this or be a Muppet voice.
My dad told a really good story. He was he did a lot of ushering when he grew up in San Francisco. And so he told the story that his friend was an usher at it was like the Circle in the Square or something like that. It was a theater in the Round in San Francisco or maybe South City. And the Bee Gees came to play. And I go, Dad, what year was it? Because I was like, oh my, but I was like, it can't be the 70s. He's like, it was like 1967 or 66. So this was like first round Bee Gees. Wow. This is like, how can you mend a broken heart, Bee Gees?
Oh, yeah.
And he said they were playing and the girls were, it was all girls. All the girls were going insane. He's standing in the aisle as the usher. And then the second the show ends, they because it's in the Round, they go up an aisle and he goes, and then we're supposed to, they get out and then we're supposed to hold the audience back while they clear. And he goes, no, and my dad's 6'4" and he's pretty big. And he goes, we got slammed up against that wall. He goes, I was pinned. These girls, they were serious. They were going to get to those guys. I had no control. He told the funniest story of like that basically he kind of witnessed and he was like, what is this? What's going on? And then essentially just got completely flattened by Bee Gees fans.
That's so great. I wish, yeah. I don't, maybe the Harry Styles gets that kind of reaction now, or I heard he does, but yeah, people keep it real cool now. No one gets pinned anymore. Those were the good old days.
Those were the good days.
Yeah. It was the pre-litigious era.
So hard to get trampled these days.
Yeah. Ugh.
Try as I may. Yeah.
Go to all the Black Friday sales.
I remember going to see I was also obsessed still to this day. Course. My first cassette tape was Pointer Sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I am obsessed with the Pointer Sisters. And I went when I was like 19 or 20 to the Warwick Musical Theater in Warwick, Rhode Island to see the Pointer Sisters. And it was me and my best friend from college, Kate, who I didn't know, but I was completely in love with, told her years later. I just remember being like, dancing to like the Pointer Sisters. And it was just basically Kate and I, and then everyone over like 70. It was just, there was no, it was so weird. And then you just felt like a lot of people were sitting in their seats. I felt like maybe they won tickets on like a radio contest or something. Mm-hmm. And we were like dancing and losing our minds. And Anita Pointer pointed at us. And I was like, I'm done. Like, it was like one of the greatest moments of my life. She was just like this, because we were like, fuck, you know, Neutron dance, I'm so, like, you know, whatever it was, we didn't sit down. I don't think a lot of people could stand up, but we were losing our minds. It was
pointed at by a Pointer Sister.
Didn't
we lose a Pointer Sister recently?
Yeah, I think it was June, Anita, Ruth. I think maybe they've all passed, or maybe one of them is left. Yeah, I think it was like maybe Ruth a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I tell you, when the Bee Gees, when the twins died, because I'm a twin, that was a double. That was like anything twin, I lose my mind.
You know who pointed at the Pointer Sisters in the end? The bony hand of the Grim Reaper. I'm sorry. It's just the visual I saw. But it got made. They're great. Neutron Dance. One of my favorite from the Beverly Hills Cop.
And Chris is backpedaling. He's trying his best.
I just was thinking of the big skeleton hand from Scrooge.
It was Anita Pointer who died recently.
It was Anita? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yep.
R.I.P.
Yes, yes.
You were a real one.
Did anybody... Were you guys Pointer Sisters fans?
I love the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
There you go. Do you remember the song Automatic?
Oh, yeah. Automatic.
Yes, Karen.
So good.
I thought it was a man singing. You know how it gets real low in one part? I was like, oh, I wonder who was like the guest. It was Anita.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like she could just like... At one point, I was like, it felt like a burly man singing. Yeah,
maybe
she was like,
and I was like,
it's
what?
Totally automatic.
Yeah. Maybe she's a seven octave person.
That was
the music that was always on. So we listened to constant AM radio when we were in the car, much like my sister and my niece, but in the 80s. So like I was very much a lyrics person. So it's like, that's how I knew songs and I memorized the words of songs all the time.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the Pointer Sisters were huge, like late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was 7, 8, 9, 10 when it was like, those guys had music on the radio constantly.
Yeah.
So like, remember when Jump was like the huge hit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For My Love. Jump in.
For My Love.
I was trying to think of that one. Yeah, I love that song.
They just got better and better. They were just like doing it. They were like, we'll do disco. We'll do pop. What do you want? We're the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah.
Just to be able to perform with your sisters. Like, I remember I had two sisters and we're like, what could we possibly do together? Like, how can we, like, we're just like, we're all so different. We're tone deaf. We're like, we can't do a band.
Were real sisters. My back is really starting to sweat after that Grim Reaper comment. I thought it was sisters in that they were in a band together. Ah. And the reason I got sad about the Cranberries is she passed too.
She did.
Ah, nuts. Well, you know, it's a new year.
It's a new year for people to die.
Yeah. We got to get healthy, everyone.
Aaron, what is, you don't have to say like a resolution, but what are you looking forward to in 2023?
Resolutions.
or a resolution.
This sounds so stupid, but I'm just going to say it. Who cares? My twin sister lives like the next neighborhood over, and we had lived together for a couple of years, and we got a Peloton. And then when I moved in with my partner, she moved in with her boyfriend. I was like, okay, you take the Peloton. And so I go over her house like once a week and I use the Peloton. And I was just on it the other day. And one of the instructors is like, you know how they get all so crazy. And she's like, what are you leaving behind? 2022, what are you leaving behind? And I was like, that's like, it was like the two things I heard that resonated the most, because I, you know, you make resolutions, but I was like, these are the two things that I'm going to try to stick to. What am I leaving behind? And then I was listening to some podcast and it was like, you know, what is the one word you're going to do for 2023? So I was like, okay, I'm going to do those two things this year instead of like doing my usual, I want to do this and I want to do that, whatever. So the 2022 leaving behind is, well, there's a whole bunch, but I'll just do one. It's really like, I just put like my health like at the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
I just was like, work, this. And I just, out of the blue got like frozen shoulder.
Ooh, I just had that.
Frozen shoulder.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
Yeah, where you just kind of can't move and you can't raise your arm to a certain, it's the worst.
Out of the blue this year had all this health stuff. Knock on wood, nothing like insane, but like COVID and like sinus stuff. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like it was like the biggest lesson of like, I have to put, it sounds so cliche, but I never do it. I never put my physical and mental health first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm like going to leave behind, this like BS of just like everything takes precedence over that.
Yeah. And maybe get joint custody of that Peloton. You got to get, it's got to be a halfway point once a week.
Go to your sister and say, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. It's like go to the gym. It's like you just go over her house and use the Peloton.
Oh, yeah. So I would love to.
That's the big thing. And then the one word I'm taking into 2023 is motion, because I get real depressed when like I'm in between writing gigs and I just like I'm in my apartment too much and I'm writing. I'm not doing a ton of stand up. I get like really like, you know, I need to be moving.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just need to be moving. So I'm like, I'm going to put the word motion on my wall.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. So I've been getting up and like just going to the res and walking, just like stay in motion.
That lends itself nicely to the leave behind thing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Those are good.
Good. Wow. You nailed that one.
Chris, what are you going to leave behind? You found that very appealing, that concept.
I mean, and I'm trying to think of the one word, because I already told you I plan on finally doing therapy. So I guess that's my future word, because I've not done any of that since I was a young 13-year-old that was hearing voices in his head.
You mean jokes?
No, just background.
No, joke voices?
Scratchy noises, trees rubbing against windows that were forming words that were suggesting I do things. But that's all behind me and I'm healthy. I'm just kidding. They never suggested I do anything. But they were voices. Like,
how are we going to get out of this one?
Yeah, no.
Karen, start singing. Anything.
Segue into AutoZone.
For God's sake, someone mentioned the Bee Gees. But I think that most people I know are in a slump because we've gotten not just sedentary, but I'm so okay with just being home and not going anywhere that I, of course, am not going and working out. And I can tell when I run just to go, you know, to chase a mugger or, you know, you occasionally run. My lungs.
Stuff you like to do.
There are a lot of muggers in my neighborhood. But I very much want to in the future, because I was confronted by this time last year. I watched my brother-in-law have a heart attack and my nephew save his life. And now he's totally normal. He's back to he was. And so I think that we should all worry more about our hearts. And I was, Karen, when I did that Heart Foundation golf tournament. I promised them I would mention the foundation. So I guess I'll do that now.
Oh, good.
Because February is American Heart Month. And the foundation that had me do that golf tournament had just came up with a vaccine that's in its second trial now that gets rid of the plaque in the heart, the arthrosclerosis, I believe it's called.
Oh,
which is the same
good.
As the thing, Karen, you and I are always, Alzheimer's is plaque on the brain. Like, it seems
that's
like
right.
every scary thing is plaque. So anyway,
that's why my dad was, remember when my dad was in the hospital last year? That's exactly what it was for. He had to go get a thing. They had to put a little thing in there and clear that out.
For in his heart?
Yeah.
It's the number one heart disease. It's the number one killer of firemen. It's the number one killer of men and women in general. And my point is, I am going to learn CPR. I think everyone should learn CPR. We only 70% of people know it or feel comfortable with it. But the Heart Foundation, I wanted to mention, they do really cool work at Cedars. And they're working on this vaccine, and they're going to have results in February, which is American Heart Month. So that's why I'm talking about that. And I'm going to
awesome.
Get healthy.
Great.
And I'm going to learn CPR, and I'm going to go to therapy. Okay, Karen, what is yours?
Nice one. Gosh.
Those are great, Chris.
You guys are... well, you know what's funny? For the leaving behind, I think you're right. I'm on board with you where, and it makes me think of it, Aaron, because I adore you. You're one of my good friends, and I don't see you or talk to you enough at all.
Like
it's been 4 years, like pre-COVID, and I'm very embarrassed because seeing you makes me go, why the fuck don't I text you 4 times a week? Like, why wouldn't I? You're my favorite person. And we were going to write that script. We had all these plans. And I think it's just like, you know, whatever. We got busy. The shit that everybody always says.
Yeah.
It's what everyone says. But somebody was just saying, socializing and planning social things and being among people that you really love and really care about, not just like the Hollywood kind of CNB scene, but actual meaningful socializing is really important for like human connection and human health.
Yeah.
And so aside, to go along with my morning stretches, which is something I actually have been doing since the beginning of the year because I'm so stiff and I got the fucking frozen shoulder thing where literally I would go to open a cabinet.
Yeah.
And it would be like, I would lift my arm slightly above shoulder and be like in such hideous pain. Like, it's so crazy. So stretching, but then also actually
I'm showing
remembering.
You something real quick. This, my sister got me this and I can't stop stretching because of it. It's like a tighter, and I don't know what that says.
Tritier?
Trickery?
Yeah, it is a rigid band that has all these loops in it. And I, the other day when my shoulder hurt, I put it behind and you put your hands in these bands and it stretches.
Oh, yeah.
And all I do is experiment with it. And because my sister got me one of these, I can't not look over and see it and not try and stretch. So sorry to interrupt, but
that's
very much suggested.
Will you take a picture and then send it to me?
I
so
will
that
indeed.
I can get one too?
Yeah.
But
try dear,
point being,
it says.
For physical things like slowly stretching and realizing how tight, like I'm just tight and stressed out all the time and like work, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I have a physicality to the stress that I take on in work. So kind of trying to ease that up and counterbalancing that with actually making an effort to socialize and see my friends because I am the queen of like, I want to do it. And then the night of, I will cancel. I do it all the time. And it pisses people off, rightfully so. And so I think that is what I will be leaving behind is that kind of taking other people for granted or like taking that kind of socializing for granted when it's actually crucial to my mental health and to my kind of like basic happiness.
Yeah.
Yes. I am ready to hang out, Karen.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, great.
At Karen's house, at the party she's going to have. Karen, have another party.
I should.
Yeah.
Well, now that, when the rains pass and all the debris flows away into the LA River and everyone can access, everything. I will absolutely do that. It's a great idea.
Just not first week of February. I got my rock show.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do it for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we'll have Valentine's Day.
A Valentine's party.
Yeah.
That's not awkward. You go from zero to a Valentine's Day party. I go from
zero to you're only invited if I love you or am in love with you.
Yeah, or if you're not it. In a relationship, you can't come.
You can't come, and you have to write a letter explaining what's wrong with you that you're not in a relationship. And then I'm not invited to my own party. God damn it. That didn't solve anything.
Let's just start with like an easy mixer, like a 5 o'clock happy hour. Just gotta ease on into this.
Valentine's Day. Cancel your dinner plans. You're coming to my house.
It's a swinging orgy in your backyard, and you have to watch through a window because you're not invited. You're
people
not
walk
invited
in
virus.
Throw your keys in this bowl. Get in here.
I'll just hold the bowl while in my bedroom. Don't be too loud.
It would be hilarious to have an orgy while everyone can't do anything post-COVID. That would be amazing. Just to be like, it'll be like the just light shoulder touches. And then everyone goes home and I watch TV.
Or like they come over your place for an orgy. Everyone gets in and then you leave. You're like, have fun. I'll be back at 12.
Yeah. I don't even say anything. It's just an Irish goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. I lock the door behind me. Bye.
I just like the orgy aftermath. I like to come and.
I just want to clean up. Disgusting.
That's so awesome.
I get a lot of stress out when I clean, you know, and I've had like a really bad week. So I'm going to need you guys to come over, have an orgy, leave around one, and then I'm going to need to clean it up.
And I just love the aerosol, you know, kind of fumigate bodily fluid smells specifically. Yep.
Get that Fabuloso going and just wipe down those walls.
Oh,
you get an invite for an orgy. Looks like Karen's had a bad week, huh?
She's doing it again.
She's making us fuck everybody so she can clean up again. Jesus.
So weird.
Well, like the one I went to, if you show up solo, you have to leave after the lobster.
That's a true story.
Karen, there I went to a lobster bake and it turned into an orgy and I got kicked out during phase two. They started... I mean, there's already tarps on the tables, but after we ate the lobster, it was like a neighborhood thing where people paid tickets and helped buy the lobster, and that turned to an orgy. And I was asked...
Wait, was it planned?
Yes. It was
the orgy
just,
was planned.
Let's do these things both in one night. I love lobster. You love having sex with our friends.
No.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, did you bring anyone? They were nice about it, but I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, well, time to go. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense. And then... one of my neighbors let me in on it. They're like, oh yeah, they all get naked and it's weird.
I can't, lobster is so rich.
Yeah. Well, it's two
and
cleanups.
Like the butter.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's cleanup, double lobster cleanup, and then the one that Karen's so into after.
So many napkins. What a waste.
God, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, every day I'm like, what am I doing? You know? And, but like after I hear those stories, I'm like, I think I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm good. Right. Like maybe I've gotten a little boring.
Yeah.
But like, I don't, I was on one of those gay, like my adorable gay boy cruises that I do stand up comedy on, but I haven't done it in a while. And,
it's boys.
It's all boys. It's the greatest gig I've ever.
Oh, wow.
It's the greatest gig ever. But, again, I hate to do this because this wound up in my act, but I'm just giving you this real scenario. Waiting for lunch with two of my gay boys. I got lunch. Lunch. Guy runs up. Sorry, I'm late. Totally flustered. He's like, "Sorry, I'm late. I just stumbled into an orgy." And
in one of the rooms, tiny room.
I just was. But the craziest thing was their reaction. They go, "Oh yeah, all right, whatever, let's go." And they all go to lunch, and I'm sitting there, and I had like, you know, that's the whole joke, whatever. I did like had a whole breakdown, but I was like, the casualness of like, I really like, I guess that's kind of like the beauty of getting older and knowing yourself, because there are moments where, like, again, if I stumble to an orgy, shoot me. another is like, I always forget this. You know, Scout Derwood.
She's the best.
She's the absolute best. Yeah. What is she?
Ukulele?
The shows where take one thing off, her whole show about
Burlesque. Yeah. Yeah.
Take one thing off.
that's the name of her show. It was called Take One Thing Off. Sorry.
End of year sale? discount.
Buy one, get one free.
You're closer. Burlesque.
Okay.
If it's like gun to head, do burlesque, shoot me. Like there are just like, I just know I've done a lot. I've tried a lot, but yeah. Like the orgy burlesque, yeah. Like I just.
Well, nope. Especially like with those guys on the boat that they were like, oh yeah, whatever. If it's ever an orgy is like, oh yeah, that same old. Like the way I talk about having to go grocery shopping. I don't know that I want to get used to orgies.
No, you know? That should always be fresh and new.
Yeah. Yes. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting
an orgy,
two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
An orgy is just like commonplace. Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Where do you go?
Yeah, you've maybe numbed out too far. Maybe it's time to go back to the woods or something.
Get the drugs out of the system.
Yeah, go to
just
the library.
Do some just like fresh air library, walk in the woods, just get back in touch with, I don't know, just some fresh air. You're right, just some fresh air. Back. Yeah. Get off the boat.
Yeah. Guys, I think we solved it.
Yeah, man, what a great, man, we went through a lot of good stuff.
Karen, the light in your room has been dimming. And I'm like, now you're a ghost or I'm having a stroke.
This is the point in the podcast where Karen becomes a haunted doll.
The
Annabelle.
This spot in my dad's house is really the only place I can do any of this, but this where all the Zoom calls take place too. And this light is so fucking harsh during the day. It's like, I'm always so red and I'm always so, where I'm like, I try to powder beforehand where it's like, I just look furious. And also like, I just got back from Rio de Janeiro. Like, what are you doing?
But please, for Aaron, can you do the minor adjustment where you become a floating head?
What do you mean? Like, going closer?
Before,
how did I do that?
You just adjusted your light and all of a sudden you were a floating head. I don't know what it was.
This way?
I just wish the listeners could see the light just getting darker.
Karen,
and now it really
looks
like a horror film.
Glowing head. Yeah. You can kind of see the outline. Yeah, I don't know how you did it before, but
I don't either.
You were able to.
Well, you know, if it was when it was my other office, there was less to reflect off of.
Yeah.
So maybe it was that the darkness came around this way. There was a point because of course this, it's like with the hair and always my black long sleeve shirt, is a real Miami mum and chants kind of like it's just this mask and of then, like podcasting ghost
and then you do
it's
the,
awesome.
I'm trapped in a box, your space work. Oh wow, it's so real.
It's so real. All right, we've gone over. We're so done.
Worth it. I don't give a shit.
I love it, Aaron. You're the greatest.
Yeah, you're the best. Great to see you.
You're a Dynar all-star.
Can I just be real serious for a second?
Oh.
Seriously, like I'm not just saying this. You two are like my favorites.
Oh, thanks.
Oh,
favorites.
Same.
And I was so, as Patrick suggested, I think you're really going to enjoy this. I just was like, you know, you do podcasts and it's fun, whatever, but I was like so pumped to see you two and talk to you two because I really miss you both. So thanks so much for having me on. It was just a real just an hour plus of joy.
And you're hilarious also, and it was great to see you. Very mutual.
Yes,
you've been listening.
We're done.
Do you need a ride? DYN AR. This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Honk, honk.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.